On this Memorial Day, we're going to hear the sounds of a cemetery not far from the U.S. Capitol here in Washington, D.C. It's smaller and less famous than Arlington National Cemetery, which President Bush visits today, but Congressional Cemetery is the final resting place for 1,500 veterans. It is also a burial ground for politicians, poets, bakers, brokers, and at least one notorious madam. NPR's Susan Stamberg went there.
Whoa, what a yawn. And you've got big teeth.
There's a lot of life in this old cemetery. Neighbors register to walk their dogs here and clean up after them, of course. In good or bad weather, respectful owners and pets get a nice workout.
Hey, Quince, come here, buddy.
Congressional Cemetery was founded in 1807, and Linda Harper, chairman of the cemetery board, says these old graves mark a good deal of history.
The early mayors, I believe it's seven or eight of the early mayors of Washington, were buried here. The publisher of the Washington Intelligencer, which would be equivalent to the Washington Post, the bankers, the lawyers, the brick masons, the wives of those, their children.
About half of these 60,000 graves hold the remains of children. Grim reminders, Linda Harper says, of what medical conditions were like in the 1800s. In the oldest section of Congressional, one family plot contains the remains of four children who died in 1852, 1854, 1856, 1858. What began as the Washington Burial Ground became the unofficial resting place of members of Congress and soon was known as Congressional Cemetery. Members who passed away in office were held here before arrangements were made for final burial someplace else, their home state usually. Cenotaphs, it means empty tomb, mark the passing of Congressman Tip O'Neill, buried in Massachusetts, and Hale Boggs of Louisiana, whose small plane disappeared somewhere over Alaska. And there are others. This one is quite grand, John Philip Sousa's. The legendary composer and leader of the U.S. Marine Band was a Washington native. He and his family lived on Capitol Hill. Sandy Schmidt, a volunteer archivist, says Sousa's is the most visited grave at Congressional.
And on his gravestone are the first few bars of, is it Semper Fidelis?
Let's see if we can...
We had a high school band come a few years ago to perform, and they didn't realize how difficult his music was to play, so they only managed to learn one song, which they kept repeating over and over.
John Philip Sousa led the Marine Band from 1880 to 1892. He died in 1932. A few steps from Sousa's grave lies his first cornetist.
His name was Herbert Clark, but he wanted to be buried as close to Sousa as he could, and that's as close as he got.
The cornetist is one of about 40 Marine Band members at Congressional. Their barracks are just down the street. And Sandy Schmidt says the old brick and stone cemetery paths pass the graves of six other U.S. Marine Band leaders.
At one time, being a leader wasn't such a big deal. It was, you know, they were just kind of the equivalent of the first violinist. But we have the band leader who led the band at Gettysburg is buried here.
The seal of the U.S. Department of Justice adorns the grave of the very first director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover. In 1972, he was buried in the Hoover family plot near his parents and sister.
The iron fence was not original to the site.
Again, Linda Harper of the Congressional Cemetery Board.
When Hoover was buried here, the retired FBI agents put up a fund to have the fence put up, have the seal put on it, and have this lovely little iron bench here in front of it.
In front.
I suppose so they could come and contemplate Hoover. I've yet to see anybody ever sit there, but you'll notice a distinguished looking black car arrive ever so often, and you know it's one of the agents who drive in, and oftentimes we'll find that there's been a flag, an American flag, placed here.
15 sites south of the controversial J. Edgar Hoover, a small stone marks the passage of Mr. Clyde Tolson, Hoover's longtime companion.
Oh, here are these beautiful angels. Wait, these are angels for the Madam of Washington, D.C.?
You bet.
Whoa, go girl.
It was really interesting. I would like for you to tell me what you think the backsplash looks like.
It's just wonderful. It's very large and a nice sort of curved stone, and on it says, welcome.
Looking a bit like a headboard, do you think?
Mary Hall ran a boarding house and bordello on Capitol Hill. She and her girls did their patriotic duty at a major moment in American history.
During the Civil War, the War Department actually kept track of all of the bordellos in the city because they needed to know where to go find their officers.
The government gave ratings to these establishments. Mary Hall always got 4 stars. She took good care of her girls, made a nice bit of money, and when she retired and moved to Virginia, she saw to it that her boarding house bordello was used as a clinic for women. Mary Hall died in 1896, and these words are engraved on her marker. Truth was her motto, her creed, charity for all. Dawn is coming. Our visit to Congressional Cemetery ends at the grave of Leonard Matlevich, who died in 1988 at the age of 44, a veteran of the war in Vietnam, a man and a symbol to other men. Each year during Gay Pride Week, a contingent comes to place a wreath on the Matlevich grave. Shiny gray marble marks the spot.
And it's been much visited with stones, which is a traditional Jewish calling card when you visit a grave.
Right. The inscriptions reads, when I was in the military, they gave me a medal for killing 2 men and a discharge for loving one.
It was breezy on the day we visited Congressional Cemetery. The wind began kicking up in an unfriendly fashion, tossing leaves around the graves, the markers, the inscriptions. An old cemetery, run down in places, bare where grass could grow, but a place where nearly 200 years of Federal City stories are told. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
You can see photos of Congressional Cemetery at npr.org.